I am Bill Courtwright with Living Right with Bill Courtwright, and this is the Stress Mastery Podcast, where we take you from the science to the spirituality of stress mastery.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Stress Mastery Podcast. I am your host, Bill Courtwright, and I'm here with the super millennial, David Barreto, giving us the millennial perspective. How are you doing today, David?
I'm doing good.
So this week, our topic is pride. In today's Meeting of the Minds, we're going to have a discussion on God's teachers. So before we get started, got anything for me, David?
Nothing to announce, but we got some big things working. I'm excited to bring you guys some things in the community. If you guys are in the community, we did put out a feeler for topics for future live webinars. So if you haven't had a chance to go in there and put some of your topics, make sure you go ahead and do that. If you guys aren't a part of the community and have some topics that you would like for us to cover in the podcast or to have one of the coaches maybe do on one of their episodes, email us, because that would be awesome. We want to do some topics that are, you know, interesting to you, but also how to, you know, put stress mastery into other categories of our life.
Sounds good, my man. So let's kick this thing off. This week, our topic has been pride. And today we're having a discussion on God's teachers. And you may think that doing a show on God's teachers when the topic is pride would seem off a bit, even odd. And I assure you, after this episode, it'll all make sense. So pride has several angles to it. One angle would be being proud of your achievements. Another angle is being proud of someone else's achievements, proud father, proud mother. Another angle of pride is feeling this feeling of being better than others. Now, in the Bible, the sin of pride refers to a high or exalted attitude. This is the opposite of having the virtue of humility. In stress mastery, to be proud of your accomplishments is a good thing. This helps you build self-esteem. This pride energy makes us feel good. This is pride in gratitude connected to the heart. When one is in this pride, there is no bragging, nor separation. Now, in the state one becomes this example for others as a good teacher, as a God teacher. They're showing them that you can accomplish things. That is good pride. Do you have any feedback on that?
Yeah, I know people always are scared to use the word proud or pride because of that, and they don't know that difference for sure.
And it's important, because then there is the pride as a state of energy. Pride that becomes boastful, vain, smug, opinionated. This state of pride drives behavior to be unforgiving and righteous. These individuals become bigoted, critical, prejudiced, and they live in the perception of justification, why they are more worthy and special than others. Now, understand, the ego's strongest red zone energy is pride. Pride can pull one off the mountain and back in the valley faster than any other energy, because there's no real feeling in pride. When you're in frustration and anger, it makes you feel aggressive. When you're in grief, apathy, or guilt, it makes you feel depressive. Pride doesn't produce feelings of action because you feel righteous. So that makes it a very dangerous energy. Do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, it feels like almost impossible to have somebody who's prideful like that to take any action which way.
Because they're always stuck in that. Yeah, they're defending, attacking, they're justifying. And we're talking about being in the state of pride. Again, as we talk about our energies, all of those are now looking at the new energies that we put out, right? Red zone and green zone energies. You can experience pride from the heart. I'm proud of what I've done, right? But when you're in a state of pride, which means you're stuck in pride. And one, when you're stuck in a state of pride, will lie about their achievements, inflate their importance, take credit for others' works and their achievements. In Pride, they may bully others, act hostily toward other races, genders, political affiliations. Their behavior is arrogant, as if they're the only person that matters. And this will show through hostility toward anyone or anything that dares to question their motives. They're always bragging about just how great they are. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
So what happens when one takes steps to move from the valley and begin their climb on the mountain? Well, they may be in a strong energy in the beginning of expansion with the base energy of courage. They may, and what happens is they may accomplish some goals. For instance, someone may lose weight, change their appearance, become successful, make some money, or gain status and become known. And as they climb the mountain, they shift. They were ready, willing, and able to listen, learn, and do. They may have even shifted and attained the mountain's first summit of 310 willingness. This is full stage 4 self-authoring mind. And life was looking great, and then it happened. Their accomplishment became their identity. The ego builds, through this, the ego will build a new construct, a constraint in pride. And the sole purpose becomes to impress and or control those in the valley. So I'll give you an example. Lance Armstrong is an example of someone who climbed the mountain of his sport, and he was treated like a god. And then he believed he was God. And to maintain that identity, he had to leave the mountain and fall back into the valley, where the state of the valley is restriction, base energy of fear. In order to maintain that identity, he had to cheat, lie, and live in fear of getting caught. To maintain his God status, Armstrong had to live in pride. He felt he needed to live up to others' expectations and his own press clippings. So can you see how that happens?
Yeah, and I think that's a big thing, because I see a lot of people that kind of try to ride that coattail to it and will kind of forget what drove them there in the first place. You know, it kind of almost doesn't make sense.
And it happens in the spiritual, personal, and self-help world also. It really does. This happens quite a bit. An individual climbs the mountain, attains success, and forgets everyone and everything that got them there. So I remember when I had started bodybuilding, and as I was developing this new body, I actually thought I was special. I was better than those lazy people that don't do anything, that don't work out. Those people that are so weak. Those fat people sitting over there eating McDonald's. I was better than them. I thought I was better than them, and I acted better than them. Well, my mentor, Dan, I was talking to him about how weak they are, how people are so pitiful, and that. And my mentor, Dan, went about to straighten me out like only he could by kicking my ass. He took me through a training session, not using a single weight, just body weight. And he proceeded to kill me. And after I threw up, he calmly said to me, "You ain't shit." I looked at him, and he went, when I looked at him, he went through the same workout I did, yet he looked like he was ready to start over and do it again. And then he continued, "You need to be an example for others, and you do not help them through your words, only through your actions." He then, and I will never forget it, even though this is like 20 years or 40 years ago now, I'm in my 20s, I'll never forget it. He spent an hour quoting the teachings of Seneca. Dan told me, "What you do is not you." Seneca stated, "To judge or praise a person for something that is not theirs, what is yours? Simple, that which fate cannot take away." Dan's message that day was to move out of pride. The body is not you. It can and will be taken away. And the body is not the person you are judging for being fat or weak. So, in his way, only Dan could do. He set me straight, and he set me straight very, very young and early in my career. And I'm glad he did, because I was developing that identity and pride. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I could see that, especially with the fitness industry and stuff like that. You know, somebody accomplishes something that not many people think they can do, and instead of, you know, helping them get there, they gatekeep it as they're special because they can achieve something that no one else can. And I think that's something that, thankfully, that was never a thing for me, you know, because I've always felt like I was helping the little people because I was always bigger than someone else. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have to try. So like my girlfriend, watching her go through her process and really go through it, I'm proud of her for it.
Sure.
Because that was something before she didn't think she can do. And now she's helping her friends. She's talking to other people about it. That, for me, makes me feel good about being proud of her, because that's what I really wanted for it to expand further than her.
And it's very important, because today we're talking about pride. And the question is, who are God's teachers? And when this question is posed, it can cause quite a stir. God's teachers do not look alike to the outside world. One may see a monk in an orange robe and claim they're God's teachers, their God teacher. Another may see a priest, white collar, and state they are God's teacher. While another may see one in this beautiful suit leading millions of people, they are God's teacher. Yet another could be trapped in poverty in the inner city of a crime-driven neighborhood and may see an older woman who takes lost children and helps them to grow, and they see her as God's teacher. Truth is, we are all born with a purpose, and we are all programmed to forget that purpose. And we all have to make a choice. Are we going to stay in the valley or climb the mountain? Either way, we are teachers through our choice and behavior displayed each and every day. Do you understand that, David?
Mm-hmm.
Yet there are God's teachers, God's advanced teachers. And these are individuals who have overcome the harshness of the valley, and they have done the work to master themselves, thus master their behavior. Now, these advanced teachers of God are here to teach truth. They do not teach through fear, hate, guilt. They do not teach with the energy of pride. They teach without pride. They teach what they know through experience, and they understand that they don't know. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think those people are the ones who people perceive as being harsh or hard. Like, people would think Dan.
Yep.
You know,
Dan would talk the truth.
Asshole, but he told you exactly what you needed to hear, nothing more, nothing less. And most of the time when you try to do that from a heart to heart to somebody, they take it as you're being rude, or you're discouraging me, or you're pointing out my flaws. And I think that's where most people don't take any advice or listen.
Well, Dan could have done that without kicking my butt, without any weights to show me how I wasn't strong.
Hey, look, you know? I know how hard-headed you could be.
You know, I think that was, you think I needed that, right? So
yeah.
If we look at it, we are all teachers. We either teach fear or love through our behavior. Yet God's advanced teachers are high on the mountain. This does not make them better than those in the valley. On the contrary, God's special teachers can see from the mountain, and they can see truth. We are all one. They do not teach in judgment. They see you versus the ego. So in A Course of Miracles, teaches the characteristics of God's teachers. And they teach 10 characteristics that I think will help a lot of you listening. Number one is trust. They see truth through perception. And they see perception as learning. And it's about splitting the eyes and seeing the ego and feeling the heart. The teacher develops trust, for they do not know what is good or what is bad. They live in process in faith. And I will actually do a show in these coming weeks on how trust is developed. But you understand that these teachers of God split the eyes and they start to see the ego and they expose the perception. They expose their own perception and they can see and they learn to trust this split, that voice in my head is telling me to do this and it's not the direction to go. And they learn to trust, oh, this is happening. Well, I don't know if this is good or bad. You learn not to get too low and not to get too high because this bad thing you call so-called bad thing that's happening to you might be the greatest thing that ever happened to you. And this great thing that's happening to you may bring you a loss and turn out to be the worst thing that ever happened to you. Your thoughts on trust, number one.
Yeah, it usually falls like that. It's when people say like blessing in disguise, that used to be the most annoying thing I've ever heard because it's like, this is not a good thing. But now that I look back on it and a lot of the big things that literally shifted my life to be exactly where it's at now was because of those things. And was it something I would ask for? No. But afterwards, when you look at it and you see it deeper, it definitely happens like that all the time.
So you can see how God's teachers use trust. They trust what's happening without their ego. In other words, they don't have a story about it. Mm-hmm. Number two, honesty. These teachers understand honesty does not apply only to what you say, but also what you think. This is conflict resolution and not allowing the ego to take conscious mind control. Self-honesty is a must to be one of God's teachers. They do not have conflict within, which is what causes people to lie to themselves. When you're in conflict, you lie to yourself and you create the victim story. I have no time. It's not my fault. I can't. All those stories. And I'll do it tomorrow. You know, all those are stories and they're lies. So number two is honesty. Your thoughts?
Yeah, a lot of people can't be honest with themselves or accept the honesty. Like I said, when people like Dan come into your life and are having a heart-to-heart, most people can't accept that from themselves or from others.
And then number three, God's teachers have tolerance. The Course, A Course in Miracles, I'll call it The Course for now, okay? The Course puts this strongly. God's teachers do not judge. To judge is to be dishonest, for to judge is to assume a position you do not have. What does it mean? In other words, you are not God. The teacher works within God, walks in God, but they cannot judge another, for it pulls them into the valley in fear. Tolerance is knowing if one is ready to shift, they can help them shift without applying force. The person has to be ready to listen, bring down the deaf effect, willing to learn, able to release old belief systems, put something in new, and able to do in order to take action with consistency. They have tolerance. These teachers have tolerance. They know the moment that somebody can't hear you, you stop. There's nothing you can do. They're not ready to listen. And if they're ready to listen, but they're not willing to learn, well, then again, you stop. And if they're ready to listen and willing to learn, but they're not able to do, then again, you stop. What's the teacher's job? To plant seeds and not feed the darkness. And darkness is done in force, in fear. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think having the ability to kind of pull apart the judgment aspect from advice or even trying to listen to it is a hard thing for most people to do. Because that was one thing that I thought too. It was like, why are you having an input or even thoughts on what I'm doing if you weren't judging? It's a hard kind of to see through it. But I think once you can get past that, you could really kind of see the honesty behind it, but it has to come through it and you have to be able to kind of pull yourself out of it, have yourself from that third person view.
And you got to have tolerance. You got to have understanding. People are not evil. They're stuck. They're in the valley. Number four is gentleness. Dan didn't have that. But gentleness, number four, the Course states, harm is impossible for God's teachers. They can neither harm or be harmed. Harm is the outcome of judgment. It is the verdict of guilt upon a brother and therefore on oneself. Gentleness ties to the teacher's viewpoint from the mountain into the valley. This view is very different. They see truth, so they have empathy and gentleness. You understand that one, right?
Yeah.
He didn't have gentleness. Number five is joy. But it's funny. I could state it 40 years later like it happened yesterday. So I guess he knew what he was doing, right? Number five, God's teachers have joy. Joy is the result of gentleness. This means fear is now impossible. God's teachers that live on the mountain, their state of being on the mountain, they live in a state of expansion, base energy, courage. Fear can only be experienced in restriction, state, base energy, fear. This is in the valley. Joy is the state of God's teachers. This is held within, despite the circumstances that may be taking place outside.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
I think the joy part for me is when I can understand the difference between pride state and being proud of something. You know, when you go to like a graduation, see my brother, my sister, and I'm the pride and how happy I feel and all that stuff. And then the difference between when you're, you know, being proud of yourself or proud of your accomplishments, there is no joy within it. So I'm better than you. Yep. I'm better than this. I'm better than that. And that's the big thing that I can see difference when it's loving out of that, you know, pride. It's, you feel nothing but joy.
It's a state. It's not, it's nothing to do with the outside. It's a state of being. Number six, God's teachers are defenselessness. God's teachers learn to be simple. No need to defend a truth. I'll repeat that. There is no need, people, to defend a truth. They do not try to make themselves into something. They know who they are and how they serve. Defend an attack and the want of control is let go. That is conflict resolution. And this allows God's teachers on the mountain to be the light. How is one the light? Very simply, by not feeding the darkness in the valley. That's all it is. Not feeding the ego. Not defending and attacking. Not needing to be right. Not needing to be in pride. That's the difference. Do you understand defenselessness?
Yeah.
Number seven, God's teachers have generosity. To God's teacher, the course is very clear on this. To the world, generosity means giving away in the sense of giving up. The teacher of God is generous out of self-interest. Now, the course explains this. This does not refer to the self the world speaks of. The teacher from the mountain gives from the mountain, not for gain, not for expansion. They are selfish with a capital S. The teacher of God is not being generous with their time, their skills, and their insight to feed the ego of themselves or another. Their generosity is truly heart-centered. Big difference. Somebody that thinks they're generous because they do everything for everybody, or yes, I will do this and do that. That's not generosity. That's the want of approval. If you are in process, it's about you and God. And if you think that it's more important to run to the airport and pick up your adult child because they don't know how to do an Uber because they're helpless than that, well, you got an issue. Those are issues. We have to say, because everybody thinks that, well, if I tell my kid no, then I'm not a good parent. Nobody told Linda that, right? Would you say
somebody tell her?
But would you say she's a good parent?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that for me, as the child's point of view from there, is being able to ask and have that communication part, right? And then also kind of giving back the same way. Like being able to say no as a child and also being able to say no as the parent, I think that's a healthy part of the communication part. Because once you have that guilt of feeling obligated from it, there is no, oh, I did this for you. Now it's holding it against somebody. Instead of just doing it out of pure wanting to and giving back, then I think that's where you kind of lose the whole.
When people work out of want approval, they're working out of fear. They tell themselves they're being generous, right? They're doing all this stuff, but really they're doing all this stuff because they fear they won't get approval and they won't be seen and they won't be liked and they won't be part of, you know? So it really is out of fear.
That's what you see on like social media where people post their good deeds. There's a
point of it,
spread awareness, and there's some parts where you could see it, but the other one where it's constant, like, oh, I did this today,
it makes no sense. Those things are really, they're just such a low energy. Why do you need to post that you gave money or you did this? Now, sometimes it's okay to be an example. But like you said, if you're doing it all the time, you're posting, you're looking to get likes or get feedback or get a pat on the back. Oh, you're a good person, Dave. Good job. Yeah. Good job. Mm-hmm. Number eight, God's teachers have patience. Patience is a natural process of God's teachers because patience is the process. In the course, it states patience is natural to the teacher of God. And I will say that it's natural to the teacher of God. In process, you find the now and you do your work each day without expectation of a specific outcome. And the course states all he sees is certain outcome. What the course is saying is this is being an intention in process. And it continues. At a time perhaps unknown to him as yet, but not in doubt. What does that mean? It means you're in process doing it, and you might not be known to you what you're receiving, but you don't live in doubt. This is knowing. Patience is natural to those in process and faith. They trust. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it's that trust the process.
It's huge. If you're worried about, oh, I didn't lose weight this week, la, 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 la. Guess what? You're not in process. You are a work in progress, and we won't even get into it. Number nine, God's teacher has faithfulness. The extent of one's climb on the mountain determines their faith. In other words, how high are you on the mountain? Those who begin the trek out of the valley to the mountain have little faith. And the reason they have little faith is because of the attachment to the cage mind and the programs of the valley. But as one climbs and hits that first summit and they shift at that 310 willingness, they move into stage four of development, faith increases because you have more connection to the creation mind, the heart, and God's teachers who keep working we'll move to the next summit of 350. We talked about it, did a show on stage five and the acceptance energy. They then begin to live in faith as they are now living in process. And the course states, true faithfulness does not deviate because the teacher is consistent in faith. This is being wholly honest. Does all that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's when you know that you're doing the right thing, even though you don't actually know it, you know? It's when you don't deviate, you stay consistent, you do what, you know, everything is telling you to do, and then eventually it comes.
It doesn't mean
so many people's change so quick.
It doesn't mean you don't look at metrics. It doesn't mean that you don't make adjustments. It means that you're allowing the metrics to tell you to make the adjustment. You're not making an adjustment out of the expectation you didn't get what you wanted.
Yeah, well, that's why, like, I think for most people, especially now with people going through their, you know, New Year's resolution, taking progress pictures and things like that. I just showed you on that from months ago, and I was like, man, you know, I was feeling down the other day. I was like, man, nothing's changing. I look back 6 months, I'm like, who the hell is that? You know, just because you can't see it on a day-to-day basis doesn't mean the actions that you're taking aren't working. It's just you're so close to what you're doing. It's maybe you're not seeing the outside effects.
In fact, in shift coaching, when somebody shifts, they've released old programs. Once you release old programs, they're no longer in your consciousness. They're out of the subconscious mind. And you don't remember them. You don't see them until somebody brings them back to you. Do you remember this?
Yeah, you mention it to me all the time. Like, remember when we first started? And no. I'm like, not really, but
because you do. Because when you have to come back sometimes and look at it and go, holy crap, I really have progressed because it's not in your consciousness anymore. That's the great thing about shift coaching. You're releasing the past so you can be present in process. Number 10 in the final attribute of God's teachers is open-mindedness. This is the last attribute acquired by God's teachers, is being open-minded, which is easily tied to forgiveness. Open-mindedness comes with the lack of judgment. And this creates an ongoing state of being in event awareness response in that expansion state with a base energy of courage. As judgment is what locks one in anger, fear, and guilt in the valley, open-mindedness allows those in the valley, as the teacher of God, will not feed their ego, which keeps one in darkness. It's the teacher of God that allows those in the valley to rise, and they do that through their behavior, through their state of being God's teacher. It shows the way, and this gives permission to others to travel a new path. You change everything in your life when you change, and you don't have to say a word because everybody will know. And sometimes that change, you may say, oh, that's bad. Again, it's not bad. It's not good. It's a shift. It's a change. It all is what it truly is. And it's all God, or it's nothing. So that's that. So when one teaches from the pride energy, and I'll close this out and I'll hand it over to you. Those are the 10 attributes, right? But what happens when one teaches from the pride energy? They are actually teaching from a curriculum built in fear from the past. See, in this state, they are teaching from a righteous position, and you are wrong. These teachings are passed on, and soon they become part of the cultural story, and are driven and protected through fear. And we hail and celebrate, even worship these teachings and their doctrine. And if you should disagree or go against these teachings, you are condemned. So remember, pride is ego. Ego is built in stories, supported by the past, held in place through fear. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12. So ask yourself this question. How do you teach throughout your day? Because we're all teachers. What is your message? Fear or courage? What does your behavior speak? The darkness of the valley or the light of the mountain? C.S. Lewis said, a proud man is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you are looking down, you cannot see something that is above you. Your thoughts, David, I turn it to you.
Yeah, I think one of the last parts that you touched on probably hit me the most, because it's what you do every day, like you said, but it's for the person who you don't even know is watching that you inspire every day. I think that's one of the big things. The amount of times I've gotten like a private message or a DM that says, hey, you know, you doing this, this, and this has inspired me to do this, and I didn't even know that person was watching, was kind of like, you know, realized that I'm always a teacher to somebody. And the moment that I stop doing what I'm supposed to do, that person is also seeing me do that. And that gives them a reason to quit. And that gives them the okay to stop and do all those things. And I think that's a big thing, because a lot of people, I think, listening who are just starting is probably like, I'm nobody's teacher. You know, I'm just starting. I'm nobody's. Once they see you start and you're doing all these things in silence, somebody is watching. So don't feel like you know, I think a lot of people think that it's not that big if I stop. Nobody cares if I stop. Nobody cares if I start. Somebody does. Somebody's always watching. And that's bigger than just you, I think.
You're always teaching. So especially if you have children. Mm-hmm. So if you think that you're not teaching that child is always watching your behavior. You don't know. If you felt compelled to talk about somebody or talk with somebody, I'm sorry, not about somebody, but if you saw someone and you feel compelled, hey, you know, I feel like going to talk to that person, but you don't have the trust to do it. Maybe you were the one that was going to stop them from committing suicide from just saying hi to them. Are you okay? Maybe a smile is what changed a person's life that day, but you're always teaching. How you respond or how you react is your teaching. That is you teaching who's ever in your environment. And remember, we are a collective consciousness as human beings, because we are all one. When one rises, everybody rises. Everything rises. You have no idea. When one person shifts, it affects thousands. When you shift high enough, it affects millions, because everything is energy. We can't stop it. Why do you think everything's happening in this world right now? Why so much chaos? Why is there so much conflict happening right now? Because we're in the process of a collective change. And those that are rising are part of bringing that change in. The one thing you have to realize is it's going to change. You could be a gathered hunter and you could try to sit in a tribe, but everybody's farming now. So if you want to sit out there by yourself and try to gather and hunt while everybody's farming, you can do that. You can do that. You can be brooding and saying, I'm not going to change. Okay, no problem. You sit out there with the saber-toothed tiger and you work with it while everybody else is over here having a party, right? And that sounds like a ridiculous thing, but that is exactly what's happening. Because that happened to humanity. It happened. And it's happening again. Anything else, Dave? Yeah.
Nah, that was a good episode.
That's it for today's show. Our mission here is to create a shift in a planet. You can join us on this mission. Simply like, share, and subscribe. Links are right below the show. As always, until next time, stay inspired.